Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how tight are you with your soul? Maybe you could forge a better relationship. Maybe we all could. So there are opportunities for us to connect deeper into our soul consciousness and maybe awaken some opportunities for us. And to better do that, how about something called soul whispering? Maybe that's the answer. So let's find out more about soul whispering by the author of a book called Soul Whispering, The Art of Awakening Shamanic Consciousness. So our guest is Linda Starwolf. Linda, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. How are you today?
Oh, I'm great, thanks. I'm so glad to be talking with you. Do you prefer to be called Linda or Starwolf, or what? I wasn't sure by reading your book.
I received the name Starwolf about 20-plus years ago from a Seneca Wolf Clan grandmother, Grandmother Twalinich, and that's a name that caught on for me. It's something that I've grown into over the years, and it's all my friends and students, and even my own mother, who's 88 years old now, calls me Starwolf. So feel free to call me Star or Starwolf, either one.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. And I see you have a foreword by Richard Rudd, who's been a guest many times on my radio show, and I'm a human design and a Gene Keys practitioner.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm a big fan of Richard's.
Well, it's all about the template that we're born into and how we live it out and how we help it along. And the work you're doing is so deep and enriching. And I think, you know, we all need to really find a path to that deeper knowledge of ourselves. And it helps us in so many ways to unlock this deeper journey that we're on, because our conscious mind plays such a small role in our lives. And it's the unconscious that really knows the script and wants to be heard from. And how do we get there? And how do we help it? Because we're also repressing so much that our conscious minds don't want to deal with. And you come from a long background in psychology and helping people in traditional ways that weren't quite working for you, right?
Well, it's interesting, first, the word conscious and unconsciousness, you know, and that really consciousness is the unconscious. What we, you know, daily refer to as consciousness is just kind of our rush hour traffic, you know, fast food consciousness is what, unfortunately, it seems like most of the world at this time calls consciousness. So I would say that the unconsciousness is actually consciousness, and that, yes, we are here, I think, primarily as our destiny to unlock the keys that are locked, you know, the locks that are there
right
now, to find the keys, to discover the keys, and unlock that part of our consciousness that's ready to evolve at this time. And, yes, I've been one who has been on the path. You know, being that I was born in 1952 and a teenager during the 60s, that was really my first awakening, although I was probably one of those children that would now be referred to as an indigo or crystal child, very, very sensitive and intuitive and, you know, very open, like most children are, but maybe with a little extra dose. And then being born into that era that where I was in the 60s, where there was a huge, massive explosion of consciousness, probably because of the turning of the ages, what was happening astrologically, what was happening politically, all dovetailing at the same time, and then drop into that a little dose of LSD that emerged at that time, and it blew, and music, that just blew everything open in people's psyches at that time. You know, I managed to, for me, I feel like most of us who lived in that era and that were youthful during that era went through our first shamanic initiations of death and rebirth. Some people made it through intact and some people didn't. And some, I think, evolved into what we call the first chapter of our book, From Baby Boomers to Shamans. After the 60s and the 70s, I became a counselor. I finished my degree in social work and counseling with a major emphasis on psychology and sociology and philosophy. And immediately in my early 20s, started working in the mental health centers. And in by the time I was in my 30s, I was an addiction specialist, early 30s. So I've had a long history of working, you know, both in a, I guess you could say, an accidental shaman as a teenager, near-death experience with drugs myself before I was 20, you know, and then moving into my own healing and transformation in my 20s and 30s and helping other people. So I have been on this path my entire life, but I now realize what I refer to as the wounded healer or the shaman, the one who learns how to heal themselves and then begins to bring that healing and share that path with others. So to answer your question, I needed to say that first. And yes, the systems that are there sometimes can be more damaging than helpful if they lock people in and pigeonhole them as diagnosis, put them on pharmaceutical drugs, and give them a label that they can never escape from. So that's a really important piece and difference between that system and the world of soul whispering and shamanism.
Well, it's interesting that there are still these two worlds that exist. I also have a long background from those days. I was in my 20s in the 60s, and I was just young enough to be able to catch the wave of experimentation. And a lot of people my age were a little too old for it. So I had that opportunity, and I've been on that path. I was shaken up as a teenager with the sudden death of my father, and that kind of put me on a very strong spiritual path. And since then, it's been, I'm certainly out of the box, and we have to be in order to climb deeper into this world, this imaginal world that we need to discover in order to be more greatly discover ourselves. And I was interested in what you had to say earlier about consciousness, because I think that you can speak about that deeper consciousness that you live in, as well as so many others who are soul whisperers who connect, who have opened up those doorways to the deeper realities that we live in. And understand that that can be natural. We can live with that every day. And I'm actually a practicing intuitive, so I'm always speaking with the universe and working with spirit. And so I'm very involved with and have had beautiful shamanic journeys and great discovery that way myself. So I'm very excited that, you know, that you're leading the charge with the shamanic work that you're doing.
Well, thank you, Peter, and it's great to be speaking with a kindred spirit or shamanic soul, that I would say. And, you know, going back to your father's death, my grandmother, who I was so close with, and I've written about in all of my books, I've always spoken about her on the maternal side. She passed when I was 12, and she was my grounding cord. She really was my first soul whisperer, because I was a strange little kid who was having trouble fitting in and got bullied a little bit, and because of my weirdness. and an only child, and she was the one who took me into nature and really, I always called her my renegade Celtic fairy godmother Baptist shamanic teacher, and she grounded me in nature and nurtured me in nature with animals and creatures and trees and rivers and streams and woods. And without her, I don't know how I would have fared, to be honest with you. And then suddenly she died in her early 50s when I was 12, and I was catapulted right into the 60s without that grounding cord. And I see that simultaneous being propelled into the what was happening in the, you know, the era, the zeitgeist, the energy of that time, and her death as being my first true shamanic initiation, other than being born. That's our first shamanic initiation. When we consider, you know, when we consider birth and coming into these parents who are usually children themselves, that's really our first initiation. And I think sometimes we go, what was I thinking? You know, the first one that I can consciously think of is that death. And that disturbed me so greatly and caused me to question everything in my life and turned me upside down. And for a while there was a, you know, I think there was an unconscious death wish. I never have been suicidal, but I think there was a lot of risk taking at that point that happened. And in retrospect, I'm grateful I went through it, and I'm grateful that I survived it, because it did really take me into, I think, the shaman's death and rebirth. And that seems to be what almost has to happen for human beings, maybe for other beings as well, creatures and things. But for human beings, it seems that there has to be some place or some point, whether we're a child or an adolescent or an adult, can happen at any time in our lives where we kind of reach a point of no return, that we go through a portal. And when we go through that portal, we really realize that it doesn't look like Kansas anymore, Toto. You know, we awaken, and it really is as if there's a, what I would refer to as a cosmic cervix that we go through, and we really are born again. Into a new awareness. You spoke about being a practicing intuitive. I don't think once you have this kind of awareness, you can go back. It's like trying to stuff a baby back into the, you know, trying to take a baby that's just been born and putting it back into the womb. I don't think you can not know what you know once you know it.
Right. And we're born on this serendipitous path. You and I and many others to be teachers and leaders to help bring consciousness into more awareness and practice in people's lives, because we're at a time where it's imperative that change happens, and we're in this new wave of consciousness that we entered into this decade according to the Mayan calendar, and we're in a period of night. Now, for the next 360 years, we just finished 360 years of day. And in day, normally, all the external things can happen and empires can be built. But when you get into night, you can't depend on that anymore. So the world depends on people like us and so many others who are embracing this journey inward so we can find greater awareness, greater truth, and life. And so it's, your book is so wonderful to read and understand how we can all find our way. It's not hoping we can find our way. We just need to step into this shamanic journeying of soul whispering, of opening up into the night, into the deeper place of our fears, of our shadows. And that's where, as you and I both agree, I know from reading your book, that's where the gems are. That's where our power is what we're struggling with, and to free it, and realize that we are safe, that we are whole, anyway, and enriched more by letting our shadows have light. And so to have a technique to do that, and you have what's called shamanic breath work, and that is really about going on a journey, a breathing and sound journey and awareness journey, deep into whatever purpose that each journey has for us. They're all different. We learn new truths each time. And that's why you can do so much of it, because it's not like there's just some little bit under the surface that you can open up. It's a whole world of a deeper life that has to do so much with universal reality, with nature and with the world around us that needs us, and we need it. And so your work really uses all sorts of sacred life as tools and opportunities to grow from.
Well, I discovered the breathwork methods in my mid-30s. So I've been doing breathwork for close to 35 years. And I developed shamanic breathwork a little over 21 years ago, when I started combining and integrating my work from the field of psychology, addictions, shamanism, really shamanism from around the world, many different teachers, many different studies, but really focused also with my teachings what I learned from my Wolf Clan grandmother Twyla Nitch, and then started bringing in all the new consciousness research and using the breathing techniques. So combining all of those things, and also I would say also leaning heavily on the teachings of Carl Jung's work with the shadow, the collective unconscious, archetypal realities, dimensions, those sort of things, and being very involved with a man who taught deeply about the shadow. I brought all these things together under one, if you will, title or name, and that was the shamanic breathwork process or the shamanic breathwork journey. And I created these five initiations called the initiatory process, the shamanic healing initiatory process. We take people through this journey of going from unconscious to conscious, you know, consciousness about themselves and their personal journeys. And that ship, as we call it, you get on the ship, you go on the shamanic healing initiatory process. With each initiation, people are also breathing. They're going into this shamanic breath work. So we teach them the topic of moving off of the linear path, because that's really something that's a forced reality that doesn't really exist in nature, that's been created. And stepping off of that and moving into that more intuitive, natural, shamanic world of working with the cycles of change, which are the earth, the water, the fire, the air, and spirit, and embracing the spiral path. That's the first initiation. The second initiation is doing a deep investigation into our family of origin patterns. And again, we use the breath work to discover what those are, along with some other methods. And then how from our families, the third initiation is the shadow, how repressing certain things. We have put a lot of things in our shadows that need to be dealt with, that are coming out unconsciously. Plus, there's things we put in our shadows that we need to regain, because some of the things we've repressed were things that others around us weren't comfortable with, like maybe your intuitive abilities, that we need to bring forward. The fourth initiation is embracing the beloved, finding out what's sacred to you and what gets you through the night. Spirit guides, helpers, God, great mystery, Elvis, it doesn't matter what it is. Whatever is sacred to you, your beloved and your inner self-love. And the fifth initiation is really believing, much like Richard Rudd does, is that everyone has a sacred purpose. And then I would say in the shamanic world, everything has a sacred purpose. And beginning to discover our unique gifts, talents, and what our true sacred purposes are. The last initiation we take people through, which is one that's only been added in the past few years with my book on visionary shamanism that came before this one, is contacting what scientists have now discovered in the butterfly and the caterpillar and dragonflies and all creatures that morph in that way, discovering and working with our imaginal cells, which can contain our future self, that our future self, just like in the gene keys, already exists and just simply needs to be unlocked. And we discover and work with that. We've even brought in some of the gene keys work and do, again, breath work to unlock those imaginal cells. So that ship process takes people through a wonderful journey of how to awaken their own shamanic consciousness. Of course, as you said, with the purpose of finding our place in the world, finding our place on the planet, you know, the mineral kingdom, the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, they've all found their right relationship with the earth. All those kingdoms or queendoms have found their right relationship. And human beings, I believe, are right at the point in their consciousness where we too can start really listening to our souls and being in contact with them and receiving the downloads, the information, the direction, the inner guidance, the help from our guides and helpers to find our true sacred relationship with the planet and everything else on it.
And also to see that even our planet, everything, is multidimensional. Mm-hmm. And so it's not about learning to admire a flower. It's really more admiring the whole world of flowering and its connection to all of life and what everything brings to life. And so what do we bring to life? What does our humanity bring to life? What are we here for? And including being on this planet or being part of the universe, we're still learning so much about why we are, who we are, and what we are that needs a new definition. That's why we're in the night, to feel our way, because the old definitions were too superficial and led us into the chaos that we're in now, which is part of the process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that, you know, when we're in this kind of mundane, everyday consciousness, you know, I call it fast food consciousness, when we get locked into that, we forget that we're multidimensional. You know, I mean, first of all, when people say to me, well, what does that really mean? And isn't that just a bunch of, you know, new age rhetoric? And I'll go, well, first of all, do you believe that you have emotions? Yes. Do you believe that you have thoughts? Yes. Do you believe that you have a physical form? Yes. So even if you didn't believe in a spiritual form or a multi-dimensional ality that exists beyond the physical realm, you already in your human body are talking about multidimensionality. You're talking about that you have physical sensations, you have emotional feelings, and you have thoughts. And sometimes the three things can be conflicted with one another. So you already have three parts of you that you're dealing with, that you're aware of. And then for people who do believe in a spirit, even if it's more of a mainstream religion, you believe that there's another part of you, you know? So imagine that beyond even those parts of yourself, that there's a part of us that's animal, a part of us that's, as you said, flower. There's a part of us that's crystal, you know, that we can merge with the elements of earth, water, air, and fire. And right. That perhaps star consciousness, many of us believe as the indigenous beings do, almost every indigenous culture and every indigenous shaman I've worked with believes that we all have our origins from certain star systems, you know?
Right. So that's why it's a larger meaning of life that we're here for, not just this planet and just humanity, but it's much more of that larger soul identity that has different forms. And so that's what's so beautiful. We're getting near the end of the show, and you know, it's so exciting. Maybe we can talk more another time because it's so enjoyable to share this with you and talk about this journey, and because there's so much we haven't even gotten into. And well, of course. and so
you and I have 80 years of experience with this. We could probably do about 30 shows.
Well, you know, you're working all the time with people and helping people grow into their greater selves. And so let's come back and look at the book is Soul Whispering, The Art of Awakening Shamanic Consciousness with Inner Traditions. And there are even downloadable audios at Inner Traditions for the book, and not of the book, but just to go along with the process that you're teaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, several free ones. I think there's about six downloads that you can do to help take you on different journeys.
Right. And so, you know, it's really important, I think, for people to start soul whispering.
Mm-hmm.
And many already are and don't even know it. So we can help them improve upon that. I'm enjoying this because I know the value that you bring and the work that you're doing with so many people. There are so many stories in your book of people who have had breakthroughs because of doing this shamanic breath work and are changing lives all the time. So you must be very happy and excited about being on this journey.
I am very excited about it. And we just did, very quickly, we just did a 30-day intensive shamanic breathwork transformation training certification program here at my retreat center in North Carolina in the mountains here. And we had close to 30 people here a good portion of the time, where we did breathwork, sweat lodge, fire walking, all-night metatato ceremony, which is a toltec ceremony.
That's wonderful. But we have to close the show now. So do you have a website?
Pardon?
Is there a website?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's shamanicbreathwork.org.
Great. Linda Star Wolf, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you, Peter. It's been a delight.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.